dismissed to go to children's worship. Miss Kanan and Miss Brenda, they're going to be escorting you guys out. Thank you so much for being here worshiping with us, children. Earlier, we mentioned the Singing River Project. Thank you for bringing attention to that, Brother Phil. And right after the service, if you are volunteering or interested in volunteering for the Singing River Project, that is the week, the second week of July, I believe. Where's Tim Ray at? Where'd he go? July 6th through the 11th, right? 6th through the 11th. And so if you are interested in volunteering for that, come right here where these pews. Okay, so right here to stage right, my left, short meeting right after the service. Everybody got that? All right, awesome. I'm glad that everybody's got it. If you got your Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 is where we're going to be at this morning. The thing I want you to walk away with is simply this. Getting wisdom is getting Jesus. Getting wisdom is getting Jesus. You see, here's the truth, brothers and sisters. You have a heart problem. Now, you may be going, Tyler, my doctor's told me that for years. And it's the truth. You have a heart problem. It's something that you inherited. And the issue is that many of us don't do anything to fix it, and our intake isn't helping it. And I really do sound like your doctor right now, right? Listen, do I need to get y'all to stand up or something? I mean, like, I like some interaction. Let's wake up. And here's the thing, listen, what you are taking in, what you are consuming, is making you more unhealthy. Y'all remember the Subway guy? Ended up being a terrible human being. But they convinced us that Subway was healthy. There is no way that going in and eating a $5 foot-long piece of bread is healthy. And as my wife pointed out as I was talking to her about this, a foot-long isn't even meant to be for one person. Those are meant to be shared. Did y'all know that? I didn't. But that's another sermon about gluttony. But Subway, genius marketing, and we bought into it, and we would all think that Subway was the healthy sandwich option, when in Italy, did y'all know that Subway's bread is considered a cake because of how much sugar it has in it? That's exactly how the world and the flesh and the devil market sin to us. That, hey, if we consume this, it will make us healthier. If you will get thin, if you'll get tan skin, if you'll get sexually active, if you will do all of these things, guess what? You'll be successful. Get money. Think about what the ideal American is now. It's probably somebody that your grandkids watch on TikTok. It's probably somebody that got famous online, an influencer, which is a completely new phenomenon in world history. Do y'all know who used to be the ideal American? An ideal person, if you will? Well, in the scriptures, it's our older people. It's those who have lived life and attained wisdom. But in our day and age, we value different things. Why? Because we are trying to get wisdom without getting God. But if you get wisdom from the scriptures, you will ultimately get Jesus. And if you get Jesus, that leads to a new heart. That's what the scriptures say, right? I will take this heart of stone and give you a what? Heart of flesh. I will give you a new heart. I will give you change. So today, we're stopping the old habits. And we're going to go on a journey, and let's talk about how to get going in chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction. Now, if you haven't been here the last few weeks, what we talked about, Proverbs is Solomon writing to future kings of Israel how to live a holy life and attain wisdom. And Jesus is the son who fulfills this. Listen, be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Listen to this, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget, do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Solomon is telling his sons, the future kings of Israel, listen to me. I give you good teaching, and this is exactly what my daddy said to me as well. Listen to me. Listen to me. Wisdom truly is generational and relational. It is generational and relational. One of the things I love about Woodward Avenue is that we are truly on purpose a multi-generational church, and we're growing more that way. But did y'all notice a few weeks ago, a few months ago now, on our 80th anniversary when we did the generations, how many stand up and all of these things? And did you notice the unbalance there? Why is that? Well, that's because sometimes the generations don't do a good job crossing generations. We don't do a good job of passing down the wisdom to the next generation. Well, because these are the people that I'm with. This is what I do. And what we're experiencing right now in the American church, and I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it, is this idea of a single generation church. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't some older people that come or some younger people that come to older churches, but think about that. Think about the churches that you see that they only reach one generation. They reach this age demographic. We're trying to reach millennials, or we're trying to reach Gen Z. Brothers and sisters, the job of the church is to throw the net out there, catch every generation with the gospel of Jesus, and pass it on to the next generation. One of the most beautiful things that's happening right now in our church is just a baby boom. There's something in the water, apparently. But the thing is that if we're not faithful getting the gospel to that generation, then guess what's going to happen? A generation will come and go, and they will not know the works of the Lord. That's from Judges. You see, Moses was faithful. Moses passed the gospel, passed the good news down to Joshua. Listen, if you are faithful to God in his covenant, he will be obedient to you. But who did Joshua pass it to? No one. A generation came and went, and they did not know the works of the Lord. Why do y'all think that things such as travel ball are growing at rapid rates on Sunday mornings? Because the gathering of the saints is not essential anymore. Why do you think that it's okay if you do not choose to gather and hear the gospel? And listen, here's the thing. Just going and sitting somewhere with a Bible open and listening to someone talk about the Bible does not replace the church. Because here's the problem. Church became, and I'm trying to pinpoint when it happened, church became an event that you come to, not something that you live. You see, we're not just supposed to just show up here on Sunday mornings and just come in and get our Jesus and then walk out. No, this is a lifestyle. This is something that we are supposed to do together and live together. That is what Solomon is saying. He's saying, listen, my dad gave this to me, and his physical dad gave this to me, but brothers and sisters, we have generation that's crying out for spiritual fathers, mothers, grandmothers, granddads, and they need your wisdom. And honestly, here's the other thing too. You need theirs. You need theirs. Church is meant to be relational. This family is meant to be relational. And so as we start this journey, we must think about the generational aspect of passing down wisdom or passing down the gospel. That's how this passage starts. Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth, is what David says to Solomon, what Solomon says to his sons and his daughters, and what we should be saying to our sons and our daughters. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get Jesus. Because here's the thing. Do you ever find somebody that gets all of the things of their life that they ever wanted, and still they still feel empty? There's a famous clip about 20 years ago of Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback to ever live. And, you know, if you can debate me, whatever. But the greatest quarterback to ever live. Most winningest quarterback. Supermodel wife, children, all the money that everything could have. And he's sitting there talking, he says, I still feel empty. Why? Because life is not just about attaining stuff. But here's the thing, life is not just about attending an event that you call church. No, life is about living and seeking Jesus. Treasuring Jesus above all things. Because if you go back, how do you explain 2,000 years of all types of people, all different cultures, all different socioeconomic status, all of those things who set their hearts to Christ, turn to the wisdom of the Bible, and then they find fullness? How do you explain it? It's because the scriptures contain all of the treasure that we could ever find, and this is how we get started. You get started by following Jesus. You get started by finding out the wisdom of God is what Paul calls Jesus himself. So if you get wisdom, you get Jesus. Wisdom is not just information. It's not just sitting here passing down helpful tips about how to fix a house, which, hey, listen, I need apparently. It's not just about learning how to change the oil in a car or how to balance a checkbook. No, it's about passing down the spiritual habits that you do. Waking up in the morning, listening to God's word, seeking him out. Wisdom is not just information. It's about spiritual transformation through relationship with Jesus. As we relate to Jesus and we do this, here's the thing, together. Christianity is not an individual religion. It is a corporate people religion. We do this together. So this Wednesday, I would highly encourage you. We're going to be singing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. So if you love that hymn, we're going to be singing that. We're going to be teaching that hymn to our kids this Wednesday at Worship at the Park. And how cool is it going to be that all the generations, if we just show up and we sing together, worship together, they're going to see us doing this. The city's going to see us doing this. This is an outreach opportunity. But let's make all generations present as we pass the gospel down. So I just really want to challenge you. Parents, are you intentionally passing on godly wisdom to your children? Jimmy Scroggins says this, the goal of Christian parenting is not just Christian children, it's also Christian grandchildren. You see, that's the problem. We don't think about future generations. I think it's Ray Ortland. He's a pastor up in Nashville. He says that he prays for 10 generations of his family. 10 generations. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Grandmother, mother, son. Faithful gospel does the work. Faithful gospel does the work. Ray Orland also says that we're not asking God for an ideal family, we're asking him for a saved family. In fact, the worst thing that you could teach your kids is that Christianity is merely optional. That church is merely optional. That's the worst thing. Nominal Christianity does not lead to Jesus. Lukewarm Christianity does not lead to Jesus. In fact, what does Jesus say in Revelation? If you're lukewarm, what's he going to do? Spit you out of his mouth. That does not lead to Christ. What leads to Christ is a real rugged faith in Jesus that blesses your children. So listen, if you're a grandparent in this room, you may not have done this perfectly. Nobody's done this perfectly. I don't do this perfectly. In fact, one of the greatest tools to my sanctification is having a six-year-old who talks back to me now. Daddy, you shouldn't have done that. And so, seriously, it may mean you calling up your kids and saying, listen, I need to repent to you. I need to sit down with you. I need to talk to you about Jesus. You may have set them up for life, but have you set them up for eternal life? Parents, it may mean you sitting down with your kids and sitting down with them and having intentional times where you talk about Jesus. And I am in the throes of parenthood right now. And y'all, let me tell you something. It's exhausting. And here's the thing. It's meant to be. It's meant to be. And as we strive and fight, we need to look outside and see that there's a world trying to inject their wisdom into our kids. And if we do not get them the gospel, then a generation will come and go and they will not know the Lord. That's why we gotta lock arm in arm and fight together. It doesn't take a village to raise a kid. You know what it takes? A church. It takes a church to raise a child. It takes a church. And so we want to see faithful generations. What big vision plan, what are WABC 2045. If we want to make it to our 100th anniversary, you know what we got to do? Reach all the generations. And we got to be faithful to pass down the gospel to the next generation. Why? Because Jesus is the true wisdom of God. He is the true wisdom of God. True wisdom is found in him, not just passed down from men, but passed down from the Father through the Son, through the Holy Spirit, working in our lives, and then we will get wisdom, and then we will get Jesus. Brothers and sisters, may we be found faithful. May we be found faithful. So that's how to get going. We get Jesus, get wisdom. Look at verse 5. Once again, get wisdom, get insight. Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Get it, is what Solomon is saying. Get wisdom. Get it. Understand it. Grasp it. That doesn't really sound super wise coming from the wisest man to ever live, but here's the thing. You must get it. Get Jesus, brothers and sisters. That's how to start this journey. That's how to start this journey. And how to keep going, though. Look at verses 10 through 19. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. If you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. For they are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of righteousness is the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Solomon says to his son, listen, I've told you all the truth. I've told you these things, but I want you to hear me. There are two paths, a path of light and a path of darkness. A path of light and a path of darkness. The difference lies in what rules your heart. Will it be rebellion or will it be righteousness? Will it be sin or will it be Christ? Notice those two key verses at the very end, verses 18 and 19. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. Hold on, wait a minute. If you go back and listen to our first John series that I did back in 2023, listen to this. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Listen, he keeps going in chapter 2. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. It sounds like John read Proverbs. Because here's the thing, brothers and sisters, there is a path of light and a path of darkness. There's a path of light and a path of darkness. And the path that you are on reflects the condition of your heart. The path of your own reflects the condition of your heart. And how do you know the condition of your heart? Well, look at your actions. Look at your actions. Your decisions, your actions are downstream from your heart's direction. Did y'all see what happened on Cypress Creek this past weekend? Did y'all see that? Listen, I love fishing creeks. I love to do it. It's like hunting except for fish. I love it. You have to walk, you have to find them and all these things. But there comes a time in our recent days that all the water looks like chocolate milk. Why is that water like chocolate milk? Because of all the rain, all the mud washing into the water. But somebody had the bright idea, hey, let's go tubing when there's a flash flood warning. And guess what happened? They get on the water, and you can literally Google it. You can look up Cypress Creek water levels, and you can watch You can watch the water levels rise and go. It's really great. And guess what happened in one day? The water rose 3.5 feet while they were on the water. But they didn't know it was going to happen. Why? Because they were downstream from where the water was coming. In the same way, that is what happens in our lives. Sometimes we end up in a spot and we go, well, how do we end up here? Because your actions are downstream from your heart's condition. And you know who else is downstream? Are you ready for this? Your children, your great-grandchildren, those of you who don't have kids, your future children, your future grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, your great-great-great-grandchildren, and keep going. They are downstream from your heart's condition right now in this moment. Which path will you pass along and which path will you walk on? Jesus himself said, I am the way. And do you know what else he says? I am the light. What does Proverbs say? Your path, your heart, like your word is a light, that's Psalms. Your word is a light upon my feet and a light upon my path. One of the things I love to do is I love a good trail run. I love a good trail run. And oh, there he is. There's Drew. All right. Drew knows where this is going. So there was a morning about 2 years ago when I first came. Tim Worley had just started running with us. And we go out to Shoal Creek Nature Preserve. And we go out, and it's 5:30 in the morning. How many of you know what 5:30 in the morning looks like in the fall? It's dark, ain't it? It's dark. And Tim, guess what he doesn't have? He forgot his headlamp. Well, Drew and I have a headlamp. So you know what we did to light the path for Tim? Drew got in the front, Tim got in the middle, and I got in the back to light the path so that he could see. In the same way, that is what we are meant to do as we follow Jesus. The Spirit is the light to our path. Now, it's kind of funny, the part where this illustration completely falls apart is guess who fell that morning? Drew and myself. We're the ones who tripped. Tim somehow did not trip. Apparently the trail was very well lit for him. We're the ones who fell. But it's just like walking a trail at night without a flashlight. That's what the path of wicked is. They do not know over what they stumble. You cannot navigate life wisely without the light of Christ guiding your path. So brothers and sisters, get the light, get wisdom, get Jesus, and walk faithfully alongside him. That's what Solomon is telling his sons once again. Listen to my words. Follow me. Keep hold of my instruction. Do not let go. Guard her. Guard wisdom. She is your life, but the way of the wicked will lead to death. So the path flows from the heart. What condition is the heart in? So we talked about how to get going, how to keep going, but now here's how not to get lost as you are going. Proverbs 4:20-27, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Now, many of you know this verse. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far away from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and let your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Solomon says, listen, son, you get wisdom and you get going. You get Jesus and you get going. Know the path that you're walking. Walk faithfully along this path. Here's how to keep going. Keep wisdom. Hear my instructions. And all of this flows directly from your heart. Here's how not to get lost. Know your heart. Know your heart. Now, in the Hebraic mind, the Jewish mind, the soul was in the center of your body, your heart. It was the literal command center from everything flows. Your affections, your will, your desires, your decisions, everything there. That's why Solomon says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. So how's your heart this morning? If you're wondering, if you walked in here and your life is a blubbering mess because of decisions you made, I would probably challenge you and say your heart's not healthy. If you have somebody in your life and their life is a blubbering mess because of their decisions, I would challenge you to say, is their heart healthy? And the answer would probably be, what? No. But how can you walk in this room and your life's a blubbering mess and your heart's still healthy? It's because you're following Jesus in the midst of the mess. You're following Jesus in the midst of it all. You're following Jesus seeking after him. Ecclesiastes tells us that eternity is etched onto a man's heart. We seek after that eternal life. We seek after it. Our heart is hungry. It's thirsty. It's craving sustenance. But your child is hungry. What are you going to feed them? Well, you're probably going to tell them, we have food at home, right? You don't want to stop somewhere and grab something quick. Most of the time, it is convenient. But the truth is this, are you going to give them an entire pack of double stuffed Oreos? Which they should completely get rid of single stuffed Oreos, amen? Amen, all right? Double stuffed, what's the way to go? No, you would not do that. You're going to try to give them something more filling, more satiating, more satisfying, more healthy versus something that's going to be full of carbs and sugar and make them unhealthy down the road. Your heart is thirsty for Christ Jesus. So giving someone who's hungry spiritually anything less than Jesus is like giving a glass of salt water to someone who's dying of thirst. It looks like water. Well, guess what? It is water, but guess what happens when they drink it? It dehydrates them all the more, causing them more panic, more anxiety, more thirst. So if your heart is the wellspring of your life, what water is flowing out of it? Is it the dead water of the world or is it the living water of Christ? What is flowing from your heart? What's shaping your loves and your loyalties? Is it sin or is it Jesus? Is it sin or is it Jesus? We must guard our hearts through our intake. We must guard our hearts through our intake. Just like how we talked about Subway. They made it look healthy. What can we look at? What must we gaze upon? You cannot cram your heart full of death and expect life. What happens when you gaze upon sin? You know the myth of Medusa, right? When you saw her, what did you do? You turned into stone, you hardened. The longer that you look at sin, the more that wellspring in your heart will dry up. The longer that you look at the things of this world, the more you will grow hardened to the things of God. We must look upon Christ Jesus and gaze upon him. That's what he says. Listen, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. That's why that great hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. What do the things of earth do? They grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So when we fill our hearts with the love of Jesus, moment by moment, as we draw the love that we crave from Jesus, just like he offered the Samaritan woman at the well, I will give you water that will make you live forever. As we draw from that well that is in Christ Jesus, it flows out healing throughout our being. Look at how Solomon makes it very careful and practical by referring to the various parts of our bodies. Look at verse 24. Put away from you crooked speech, your mouth. Watch your words. Watch your words. Why? Well, because the thing that you're intaking can be influencing the way that you speak. Watch your words. Fix your eyes. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Listen, my ADHD is at its worst when I'm driving and my wife is constantly saying, eyes on the road, eyes on the road, eyes on the road. And I'll be like, oh man, look, they're building a new thing. Oh, look at that billboard. Squirrel, you know, that is what I do. If I do not intently think about gazing upon the road, I will swerve right and left, which leads to verse 26, ponder the path of your feet. Be where your feet are. Be where your feet are. Look down and look at the way you're walking. Look at the way you're going. Do not swerve into sin. So there's this idea that your mouth is connected to your heart, which is connected to your eyes, which guides the way that you are walking. And all of that flows downstream from our hearts. And brothers and sisters, here's the thing. You cannot guard your heart if your heart is still dead in sin. You cannot guard your heart if your heart is still dead in sin. Ezekiel 36 says, I will give you a new heart. So if we're going to get wisdom, if we're going to get Jesus, that means that we must change in light of the gospel truth. One of the worst things that a Christian can say is, well, that's just the way that I am, to excuse a sinful action. Well, that's just who I am. Listen, if it's sin, no. That is not who you are. You should be killing that, starving that, and let the wellspring of Christ Jesus replace that. You must be like Jesus. Because here's the thing, wisdom, Jesus, doesn't just give us wise rules to live by. He gives us a new heart to live with. We must seek Jesus. Just like if you were walking in a desert land and you found an oasis and a well of water, you would guard it with your life. Guarding your heart is like guarding that wellspring in the desert. If it's contaminated, everything around it dies. But if you guard it, life will come. We can live if we get Jesus. You cannot get wisdom without getting Jesus. You don't need a new strategy. You don't need a new diet. Well, maybe some of us do. But you don't need all of the new cars, all of the new phones, all of these new life hacks, all of these things that they're trying to sell you. You do not need those. You need Jesus. So if you came in here to this room looking for answers, trying to get your life back right, here's the truth. Get Jesus. Get wisdom, but get Jesus. Come to Christ, the wisdom of God, and be transformed from the inside out, and watch that wellspring flow living water. Will you drink of that living water today? Will you pray with me? Father, as we begin to transition to this time of response, God, all of us are going to respond to this text. All of us are going to respond to what happened here today. It doesn't mean that we have to come down. It doesn't mean that we have to do anything outward, but inward we will respond. How will we respond to the truth of Christ Jesus, the wisdom of God? How will we respond to Christ Jesus, who is the true wisdom of Christ? God, how will we respond? Will we seek after the world? Will we seek to drink out of a dirty cistern? Or God, will we come to the well of life and drink from the eternal water? Father, will we be faithful to give this water down to the next generation? Will we be faithful to seek after Christ generation after generation, or will we keep it to ourselves? Father, this church is an 80-year testimony of the truth of the gospel when it is passed down to faithful generations. May we see more faithful generations come. God, as we continue to just do the work that you have called us to do here in Muscle Shoals, help us to get going, not get lost, and guard our hearts with the gospel of Jesus. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand and sing with us? I have decided to follow Jesus.